speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we began our service today, we had our sentence for the service from Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Really appreciating nature, lovely, lovely spring weather we've got right now. And looking out the windows, we see all this beautiful flowers and grass and trees, keeping our eyes wide open and doing exactly what Psalm 19, verse 1 says. The heavens are telling about God's glory, and the heavens, the firmament, proclaims his handiwork. I remember, you've probably done this, driving down Highway number 1, going towards Abbotsford, and you get into that area towards Abbotsford, and when it's on a sunny day like this, and you see the mountains, all of a sudden you come around just over that crest, and there they are, all the mountains laid out in front of you in all their majesty, snow on the snow-capped mountains, the lushness of the Fraser Valley, it's like emerald green carpet all over the place, and I was just absolutely taken this particular day. I was driving out, and I looked out and I thought, God, you are doing such a wonderful thing. You are painting enormous pictures for us with your creation. What a beautiful thing you're doing, Lord. And I said that to the man that was sitting beside me in the car. And I said, look at those mountains. Look at those snow peaks. Look at what God's doing with the grass and the different kinds of greens. You know what he said to me? He said, Yeah, I get it, yeah. Hey, have you take a look out the side window of the car here? You see this guy that's driving beside us? You see his fender? It's all rusty. You know when you pick up a twig or a stick and you want to, first of all, twist it, and then you want to bite it, and then you want to break it over your knee and then throw it over your shoulder and get rid of it? And that was my reaction. I said to him, take a look out the front window. Look what God's doing with the mountains and the snow and the grass and the greenery. And stop obsessing about some guy's fender on an unknown car. You don't know the car and you don't know the driver. And it really doesn't matter anyway. When we get to the book of Isaiah and chapter 40 that we heard this morning, this echoes exactly what Isaiah was saying, echoes in our ears. Verse 21, that's just before where we cut in for our reading today. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood? From the time the earth was founded, the Lord is the everlasting God. Wow. And as we enter Isaiah 40, you need to understand what's going on here because that sounds so wonderful. But what's happened as we get to Isaiah chapter 40 is this. It's the 6th century B.C., before Christ, 6th century B.C. The children of Israel have been captured. They have been taken to Babylon. Israel has gone. Israel, the people, are in Babylon. They're in captivity. Jerusalem has been destroyed. It's been burned. It's been pillaged. It's been completely ransacked. Jerusalem is, as it were, no more. It's a smoldering ruin. All the treasures are gone. Everything's gone. And the people are in Babylon in exile. You remember Boney M? Anybody here remember Boney M? Okay. By the rivers of Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, there we wept. We wept. When we remember Zion, and it ends off, and how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Israelites did not want to be in Babylon. They don't want to be in exile. They long for the way things used to be. They long to be back in their own land, in their own place, doing the things they used to be able to do. And God uses his prophet Isaiah, and God speaks through his prophet to bring the exiles two things. He brings them a promise, and he brings them words of comfort. It's a message of comfort. And this message that we just read in Isaiah is not just for the children of Israel in bondage in Babylon. It's for you and for me right here today, this Sunday morning, in St. Cuthbert's Church, right here in this place, as we are together. I was taking service at another church that some time ago, and I hadn't been to that church before, and I got there early, and a man came in, and obviously coming to church, and I didn't know who he was, and I just gave him a smile, and I said, "Hello, how are you?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Just hoping to make it through the day." You know, well, we all find things like that happening to us. Just hoping to make it through the day. And I think that sometimes we look for the power to cope. How do you cope? And especially in a world where stress can so very easily become distress. And our greatest need is daily power to get through the day. And our greatest resource is daily prayer. And we put them together, our daily need for power and our daily resource, prayer. Isaiah speaks to our experience right here today. It's God who gives the power, and those who we heard it this morning in our Old Testament lesson, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. Those who wait on the Lord. Another translation says, those who hope in the Lord. And so the secret of daily power is daily prayer. And that's a real hope for every single one of us. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 31, even young people, even youths, shall faint and grow weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But new strength comes when we return to God. And Isaiah says, they shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. When you were a child or maybe a teenager, you could run and jump and leap and hippity-hop. You didn't even think about it, did you? You didn't think about that. You just did it. I couldn't hippity-hop for my life of me right now. God takes Isaiah and uses him to encourage all of us here. He says, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And, you know, you might say, wait a minute, that's backwards. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Why is it that way around? But it's that way around for a very, very real reason. They shall run and not be weary. And then when we get a little bit older, when we become senior citizens, or maybe not even as long away as that, for all of us, we hit a time when we don't run and hippity-hop anymore, but we walk. And we're promised by God we will not faint. We all have to live it a day, just a day at a time. That's what the Lord gives us. And when we walk with the Lord, we're not going to faint, and we're not going to fumble. So verse 31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And when you go back into the original Hebrew in the Old Testament, the verb, those who wait on the Lord, it's... The Hebrew verb is kaveh, kaveh, and the verb is more aptly interpreted, translated, those who hope, kaveh, those who hope in the Lord, waiting, those who look for the Lord, those who are expecting the Lord, those who are hoping the Lord will be in their lives, kaveh, the idea of waiting hopefully. You're not just sitting there waiting. You're waiting hopefully that the Lord is going to be moving in your situation. And that's really, really good hope. Moving in your situation. God meets us in our everyday lives. He just meets us in the commonplace existence that we have. Take a look at what Jesus, look at Jesus' life and look at Jesus' teachings. He used everyday common things. Jesus' examples, he talks about bread, he talks about birds, flowers, weather, he talks about fish, he talks about dust on your feet. Everyday simple life experiences. And Jesus took those and he wove them into his teaching and he wove them into his ministry of redemption for us, for you and me. Everyday, ordinary things. God meets us where we are and he comes and he brings blessings for our daily needs. Blessings for our daily needs. And so we pray, like we were talking to the boys and girls. So we pray. And prayer is an important part of our daily existence. And you may have a wonderful way of praying all your own, and bless you for that. One of the very simple ones to remember, if you haven't got one that you normally use, is just the word Acts, like the book of Acts in the New Testament. A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. A, adoration. Lord, I praise you, I adore you, I worship you, I glorify your name. You are the God of all the earth. Adoration. That's A. And then C, confession. Lord, I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I want to be. And I bring these things to you that I'm not happy with, and I confess them. Then the next word is T, A-C-T, thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the flowers and the light breeze that just rustles the trees, and you can hear it and you can feel it. Thank you, Lord, for your creation. Thank you for all the things that you do in my life. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, S, supplication. Supplication means, Lord, I'm asking for things. Maybe they're for me, but maybe not. Maybe they're for somebody I love, a member of my family or a friend, somebody who's in trouble, somebody who's in need. I'm asking you to intervene, Lord. Acts, A-C-T-S. And we're promised tremendous resources of daily power when we pray. So what hinders us? I'm going to give you two words. I'm going to give you two words to watch out for. And if you don't remember anything else about what I've said, I hope you remember these two words. Hurry and worry. Hurry and worry. Hurry hinders us in our prayers because we don't take time and we don't wait for the Lord in prayer and in trust, in trust. So that he wants to bring all his blessings to bear on our lives, but if we don't wait for him, and particularly in trust with him, prayer's a two-way conversation, isn't it? Isn't that true? Prayer's a two-way conversation. And we talk to God, and then we listen for God's answer. We wait for the Lord. We wait for the Lord. And if our prayer is just taking a few minutes to tell God what he's to do, when he's to do it, where he's to do it, and how he's to do it, and then we say, well, you know, Lord, I've kind of used up all my time. I have to run. There's no two-way conversation. The Lord has no time in our lives to speak back. Some years ago, I had, you know, sometimes when you talk to a man in a church setting, you have the feeling you know what's coming. And I talked to this man, and he said, I want you to check something out. He said, tell me if this is true. God abides in me, and I abide in God. Right? And I said, so far, so good. And then he put his hands on his hips, and he said, then that means that God has to do what I tell him, right? No. And so we wait on the Lord. Hurry is a great hindrance. And the other great hindrance is worry. Worry can crowd into our lives, and we've all experienced this, all of us. And worry can crowd into our lives and try to take over so that you become just a big worry machine. And what happens when worry crowds into our life like that and tries to take over? See what happens? It pushes trust in God out the window. You can't have a life full of worry and a life full of trust in God at the same time. It just is impossible. So worry comes in to you and to me and tries to take over and push trust in God right out the window. And without trust in God, our faith gets weak. Our faith gets weak. So we put our trust in God because God really, truly cares for us. And hurry and worry can be swept away by the power of prayer. And that allows God's grace to just flow in our lives. And those aren't just words. Allowing God's grace to just flow in our lives. I'm going to tell you about a lady. I'm going to call her Betty. Betty lost her husband to cancer 6 weeks ago. And both Betty and her husband were people who loved the Lord. And I've ministered to both of them for many years. And after her husband died, Betty went traveling down to Eastern Canada. And she came back. I saw her at a service last week. And when the service was over, I just put my arms out, and she put her arms out, and I gave her a hug, and I said to her, "Betty, how is it with you?" And instantly, her eyes just flared and got misty, and little tears started running down the side of her cheeks. And she replied, "You know what, Jim, I've loved the Lord all my life, but I have never known the deep, uplifting power of prayer like I've experienced it this last 6 weeks." The power of prayer. Do you know what was Betty was experiencing? You know what was happening for Betty? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. You got it. "Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles." Eagles soaring. Drive down to White Rock. You know, as you're going down towards White Rock and you're still on the highway, you haven't turned off to go into White Rock yet, and you're on alongside Mud Bay, and there's that huge evergreen tree there, and there's two eagles that sit up in that tree most times. They're mates. They've been there for years. That's their tree. And it's lovely to see them over Mud Bay, just soaring. And go to Squamish and take a look. Eagles everywhere. And they're just soaring all over the place. It just says very much to me, all of us have things in our lives, you and me, that try to drag us down and try to defeat us, things that we struggle with, you and me, and things we wish were different, but they're not. And we have to contend with what there is. And disappointments and sorrows and sadnesses trying to defeat us, trying to tear us down. And then you see the eagles soaring. And you notice one thing about eagles? They don't have to keep flapping their wings all the time. It's marvelous, isn't it? They get up there, and they spread those wings, and they just float. They just float. They soar. They pick up the thermals. They pick up those thermals, and they just go. and they dip a little bit, and then they rise and they soar. Beautiful, beautiful. They are gliding on the thermals. Can they see the thermals? No, no, they can't see the thermals. But the eagles know that those are winds that are raising them up. So they don't have to flap and worry and work. They're soaring. They're just soaring. And that's what Isaiah is talking about. Chapter 40, verse 31. They will rise up on wings as eagles. That's you and me. They will rise up on wings of, as eagles do. And the thermals are God's thermals. God's thermals raising you and me up, giving us strength, giving us power to get through all the things that are tearing us down, all the things that we're struggling with. And God's grace in his thermal, raising us up so that we soar like eagles. Good things to think about. Amen.